at matinees. My studies in solitude, alone in my room, is where I would rather be. Yeah, but now that's just fine by me. Well, okay, 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 I need a little sunshine. Ba-da-ba-da-ba, ba-da-ba-da-ba, I need a little sunshine, yeah. Ba-da-ba-da-ba, ba-ba-da-ba-da-ba, ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba.
All right. Very amateurish thing to do, but I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to give you the two-song warning. I'll finish up with a couple of originals. This one's from my one of the two bands that I'm lucky enough to sing in, and this is a song called Put It Away from Riff Legion.
Story, you put it away.
shelter, I'm gonna put you away. I'm not doing it your way, 'cause there's more than one way to paradise. It's sinking in slowly that I can be lonely and still be alright. I'm not doing it your way, 'cause there's more than one way to paradise. Cause there's more than one way into paradise. It's sinking in slowly that I can be lonely and still be alright. I'm not doing it your way, 'cause there's more than one way into paradise. It's sinking in slowly that I can be lonely and still be alright. I'm gonna be alright. Yeah, I'm gonna be alright. Yeah, I'm gonna be alright. I'm gonna be alright. Yeah, I'm gonna be alright.
By the lights out. This one's called One Way to Die.
Track and ride off slow, never once look back. And you can stake me down to a hill in the sun. Let the heat and the fire ants get the job done. Well, any way you want to, honey, I don't really mind, 'cause there's a million ways to kill somebody, but there's only one way to die. There's only one way to die. Or you could send me overseas with a gun, get back home, and you can leave me out on the street every night. The long days on my feet with a cup and a sign. Now everyone's responsible for walking their own line, and there's a million ways to kill somebody. There's only one way to die. There's only one way to die. Right now, why don't you do it to me? Right now, come on and do it right now, right now. Why don't you do it to me? Up in the dead of the night to tell me things have been wrong for a while. Yeah, you didn't mean to lead me on so long. You don't know that you want what I want anymore. Well, I hear the tears in your voice, honey, but my eyes are bone dry. 'Cause there's a million ways to kill somebody, but there's only one way to die. life. There's only one way to die. There's only one way to die.
This is On the Town with Mikey D, 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford. We just heard an awesome live set from Rich Green of The Lights Out and Riff Legion, and now we're going to hear some Mellow Bravo.
Met a girl in New Orleans in 92. A long time for my young days were through. But when I was broken and torn in my life, it fell down on me after a trip to where I did not want to be. I found a friend, a smile and a hand to say, come walk through the park a few times, it'll be okay. So I made her coffee. She'd watch me just breathe, trying to smother the anger, but I could not see. Those clouds on her face when it called, I didn't notice just how it appalled her. To think of of the life she could have had if that son of a bitch weren't her children's dad. When she met him, she was so young. He never called, but she'd always come. Swept off her feet, although he was too old for her. She had a plan, but she put it on hold. When the baby was coming, and a great big adventure. It started okay, but it slowly got tenser. His bad moods got bigger, she'd pick up the slack for him. She tried to leave him, but always went back to him. Three kids in tow, and many admirers. She had to strangle all her hopes and desires. And there's a cloud on her face when he calls. The sunshine erased, it appalls me. Think of the life she could have had if that son of a bitch weren't her children's dad. It was just like my soul been denied me. I was in a hole, she jumped in beside me. Said she'd been there before and she knew how to climb on out. I was not sure what she was all about. I grabbed her hand, she pulled me to sanity. Kicking and screaming and every profanity. Digging through mold, black mud and dirt and shit. Reclaimed the past in spite of the hurt of it. Peeled apart pictures, my past in photography. All stuck together like this swollen geography. And there's a cloud on her face when it calls. He don't give her no space, it appalls her. To think of the life she could have had if that son of a bitch weren't her children's dad. Now he calls to her, she doesn't come. He shouts like she's stupid or dumb. Oh, but she's had enough of his crap and his crowing. He got too rough, and now she is going. And it's much too late for him trying to win her back. She found a place, the kid's stuff is already packed. And I make her coffee, grilled cheese for her children. She's got two jobs and the four of them fit in a little apartment that's lacking in anger and lacking in meanness, lacking in danger. And there's no cloud on her face when it calls. She picks up the phone and she stalls him. And builds up a life that she will have in spite of the fact that he's her children's dad.
Medical mistakes claim tens of thousands of lives every year. The healthcare community is working on it, but you can help. When you communicate with your doctor, when you ask more questions, you reduce your risk of suffering a medical mistake. Doctors can't answer if you don't ask. Help reduce your risk. Questions are the answer. Learn the 10 questions you must ask. Visit www.ahrq.gov. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality, and the Ad Council. This is On the Town with Mikey D, 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. And I am not Mikey D. My name's Andrew. And I'm here with Rish, who just played a killer live set of acoustic music.
Good to be on the other side of the window glass here, man.
Yeah. Well, you know, you get to experience every different room in this station, you know, when you come visit.
That's pretty true. That's pretty true. Well, you know what? R.I.P. Mikey D. That guy was a special one. And I remember being in this room and talking to him all the way back in the Miss Pigeon days.
That's awesome.
And before I was even writing stuff, and he was like, you know, just a such a positive, like, putting it out to, hey man, so do you write too? And like, I was like, well, yeah, but not for this band. And you know, he was just like that guy, a true music fan, like letting it happen. I'm so glad that the name stays, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, proud to be part of it.
In honor of Mikey D. I'll raise my Poland Spring water to Mikey D right now, actually. So, what do you got for me?
So, what kind of thoughts went through your head as you were deciding to do covers of music from Boston?
Oh, yeah, okay.
And what kind of things did you think of in terms of, like, you know, what was going to be your focus?
Right. So, the first thing that was going to happen was Joel was like, hey, man, let's get the lights out down here. And we were like, yeah, that's perfect. We can come down and plug the show. You know, as I said, we're playing the Black Box Theater down at the Paramount on the 20th with Gene Dante and the Sun Lions and Zip Tie Handcuffs, right? So Matt didn't realize that he had to be working at NAMM. So he flew to L.A. today, and rather than bail on the whole thing and leave Joel twisting in the wind, it was like, all right, you know, well, I'll come in and I can do some stuff. And he's like, that's cool, man. Maybe you can do like some like local covers or something. And that sort of the idea took off from there, right? And then it just kind of occurred to me. I just started picking songs that I liked, you know, from across the years. You know, Dead Cats, Dead Rats did a really good job on Fire, which is a song that the Lights Out, you know, released a few years ago. And I've always liked No God in Massachusetts, and, you know, like I said, Jenny D and Ed live just around the corner from me, which we were passing like ships in the night for years before we realized it, you know. And so I don't know. It's just I kind of got like flypaper mind, and things stick, and I just like, yeah, sure, that one. Okay, that one, you know, then that one. And in terms of like the three from the bands that are sharing the bill with us, that was actually Heather, my wife, and also the singer from Madame Bruja was like, well, you got to play those songs. Like, I know you're doing that Gene Dante tune, which is actually my favorite Gene Dante tune, even to this day. You know, so then I actually didn't know the Sun Lions, and I didn't know Zip Tie Handcuffs really well. So I just picked, because I didn't have much time, I just went through till I found something that stuck out that was pretty simple to play, you know. And that's kind of how it came together, I guess.
So you just played the easy ones, then?
Well, yeah, kind of. But, you know, and I always, that tune, I've seen Megan Tracy and the Misconnections probably four or five times now, and that song always stuck out to me, and I was like, yeah, all right, I'll do that, you know. And Chorus Line is my favorite old Jack song. So just the ones
that
stick out.
Well, I have to tell you, when you open with that, I went into the back where Phil was in the office, and then just like wow, this is something.
You know, oh, thank you, man.
Because, you know, obviously a lot of people love that song a lot, and to hear somebody actually do it justice as solo acoustic is that's quite special.
Oh, thank you. Well, I mean, it's a good song, you know, and I've always that one's always stuck for me. So I feel like those are the things that I just you know, if they're gonna resonate with me, then I'll probably hopefully put them over a little bit better. That's the idea. Because if I didn't want it, it wouldn't sound as good. Something like that. But I appreciate that you guys liked it. I like it.
And it was interesting when you did the Megan Tracy song.
Yeah.
Because it, you know, from a different gender persona.
Yeah.
It's It's like that, you know, that's a song that is rich enough and interesting enough that, you know, a different singer with a different persona can make it, you know, different.
Right. Well, I mean, if I did like Harder Girl or something, that might have been a little odd. But I mean, I honestly kind of feel like I'm kind of like a chick inside a dude anyway. So I can maybe get into those places a little easier. But I mean, Fiercely is, it does work either way, you know. I mean, like, I think it's kind of a breakup tune, and like, you know, it works either way. I didn't actually see that it couldn't work one way or the other, and I wouldn't have to change pronouns, for example, you know. But so what? I mean, like, okay, so, you know, Angel from Montgomery, John Prine, you know, and he's writing this song and he's getting into a character, and he starts by saying, I am an old woman named after my mother. My old man was another child who's grown old. So he's like talking about, he's just getting into this thing, and he's not, it doesn't matter, you know, it really doesn't matter. You're just telling a story. And I remember hearing that as a kid, and it really like brought that home to me. Like, it actually doesn't matter. You can sing anything you want, and you don't have to change pronouns if you don't want to, because who cares? It's art. Or we're aspiring to make art. We'll see how well we succeeded.
Well, I mean, that's interesting. I think a lot of musicians are, especially front people, are attuned to the like complexity of gender. That, you know, just, you know, regular bros on the street or whatever don't really understand.
Yeah.
But when you're performing and you're like a sensitive, introspective person, you notice things about, because you try to make yourself better and stuff. So
sure.
You notice things.
We all hate ourselves and we all love ourselves at the same time. I think my buddy Adam likes to quote Bruce Springsteen about that. You know, Adam, the singer, sometimes singer and guitarist and keyboardist for the Lights Out. And, you know, he's always saying, Bruce is like, with that underbite, you gotta know that you suck and you're awesome at the same time. I'm paraphrasing, but that's, you know, it's kind of holding both those things. And, you know, that little bit of self-loathing in there is what makes us all like keep trying and hopefully get better, you know. And after time, I think that's a thing that maybe it's a gift and a curse at the same time. Like, you know, sometimes I feel like it'd be nice to just kind of cruise through the world as like one of those basic bros, because it feels like if you don't question things, you can, your life might be a little bit easier, right?
Yeah, but I know some of those dudes, and it isn't.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, so then I guess this is just an unmitigated gift, and we'll take it. You and me.
So one thing that I think is really cool and interesting about the Lights Out is not only are you guys like great performers and songwriters with like pro chops, and like you guys are really serious about pro chops and like have done like alternative like cover projects that like help, you know,
right,
build those
meaning
chops,
like the back in the Halloween show years.
Yeah.
We are really very much interested in improving all the time, and we're interested in staying prolific in the Lights Out, you know, keep the songs flowing, just get into that flow and let them keep coming. That's what keeps us interested, right? And for anybody that doesn't know, the Lights Out, just about 2 years ago now, began to, through the genius of our drummer, Jesse Salucci, we now wear this sort of goggles and have our instruments have been retrofitted with this sort of assignable LED light show. You know, we realized somewhere back that nobody's really doing light shows at a local level.
People are pretty much, they're wearing like their Abercrombie and Fitch like backwards baseball hat or something.
Well, yeah, sure. I mean,
not even like a spinning hat or something,
or a tiny little hat like Tad.
Yeah. Oh, those are awesome.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Sidewalk Driver is a good example of another band who understands that visual is important. And I remember talking to Tad, and he's like, you know, it's just an easy way for people to identify you and hook in. Like, you know, you can say the lights out of those guys with the crazy goggles, you know, and they light up, and it's this show that's the lights sync up. You know, basically Jesse writes a program, so he's playing a drum track, and then he's also in effect writing a light track that we sync to. So, you know, he's playing two instruments in effect, you know, the visual one and then the drums, and also three, I guess, because he sings.
Yeah, so that's like an example of like you guys reach out into like your other talents that are not normally part of like the musical world. Like, you know, he works in, you know, with a very high tech company and stuff,
right?
And it's like around all these geniuses.
Well, I mean, he is a genius in that way. Mm-hmm. I think that it was partly to keep everybody interested. Like, you know what, I'm kind of a, you know what I do is I'm like the it all kind of focuses through me, right? So when I see those talents coming up, and like we went to Burning Man one year and I went out there with him and realized that this visual element that people are out there way further out there than we are, and like I don't want to just wear jeans and t-shirts anymore, why don't we up the ante a little bit? And you know, to everybody's eternal gratitude, he's like, yeah man, I'll take that on, let's do it, you know. And he had no idea what he was going to do, but mm-hmm. It was really going out there that I realized, wow, this guy is a compulsive tinkerer. He can't help it. You know, we might as well harness that. Like, well, dude, you're going to do this somewhere. Why not do it here? You know, let's keep you interested, you know? And I think that, you know, on top of that, what the even aside from that, I still feel like at root what we're trying to do is just give you like sort of an arena rock level show in a club, you know, and then the lights just kind of add to that, and the polish, and you know, that's just the way we do it, you know. And I think the idea has been to see what's in front of me and then try and kind of work it all into a thing and just let everybody, you know, like we say, whoever's got the ball, everybody else's job is to block for that guy in the band, you know? So like when it comes to the lights, Jesse's got the ball and we just kind of block for him, you know? Mm-hmm. If somebody's got a song that they're bringing in, everybody else kind of blocks for that guy, and we, you know, we'll push back and say, I got an idea for this or that, and you know, or if Adam wants to release our record on a beer, mm-hmm. we just got out of his way and just let him do his thing, you know.
That's got to be interesting, having like a branding guru, like in the who still like dislikes himself enough to play in a band.
Yeah, right. It's one of my proudest achievements has been to assemble this particular group of guys. Like Matt is this sacred sort of foil who's this completist. He's got every record there is, you know, he just digs into it. Like, he's got every Star Wars figure there is. He's like that guy. He's mm-hmm. obsessive when he gets going. And he's written some of the best songs that we have, you know. Or, you know, Matt and I were the guys that when he first came on board with me and said, I got ideas, like my head just lit up right away. Like, oh, what? Hang on. I know exactly what to do to that. I know exactly what to write for that, you know. And so that was really the first core of the Lights Out was Matt and I realizing that we could really, really write stuff together that was, you know, I mean, I just think it's awesome, to not be falsely modest. I really love what we do, you know. Mm-hmm. And that was where it really started. We got together and bam, song, bam, new song, bam, 20 songs in like, mm-hmm. you know, 2 months. And then, you know, we had this first drummer And he ultimately wasn't the right guy, and he selected himself out. And then the next guy that came on board was Jesse, and so we played as a trio for a while, and we sort of incorporated Jesse in because Jesse's got musical ideas, mm-hmm. you know. And then Adam came on board, and Adam's got musical ideas. So, it, you know, it's sort of like the stew got a little bit more complex with each guy putting their stuff in there. And I think it continues to age well as we realize that all we have to do is just be open, and there's this endless pipeline of songs coming our way, which is a very lucky thing to find ourselves in that situation.
And it's also very cool and interesting that you guys are really, like, of the bands in Boston, like, there are bands that are, like, sort of reinventing rock and roll in their own way, like, say, Walter Sickert is one, like, Ruby Rose Fox is another.
Sure.
And you guys are doing your own thing with real focus on the visual in a unique way that you know, makes this sound like really exciting that there's folks that are doing that stuff.
Yeah, sure. Well, I mean, it's true in terms of the music, like what I think everybody is trying to do, you know, it's not really about writing for the charts. What we really should be trying to do is we're all supposed to be writing Green Sleeves, you know, or Oh Danny Boy, or This Land Is Your Land, these things that just live on and on and on and on. That's the real end game. And, you know, none of us are ever going to make it, probably not. It's hard to get to that spot, but what I think the crux of that is like when people talk about pop songwriting sensibilities, I think that actually it's just songwriting, good songwriting, quick 3 to 5 minute things with melodies that catch and verses that mean something and choruses that stick in your head. And, like, you know, the Lights Out isn't necessarily trying to reinvent anything. It's like what we are is like a burger and fries, you know. It's classic rock for 20 years from now, should things break right. That it's just right down the middle. It's easily digestible, but if you listen a little bit, you'll realize that there's some complexity and some flavor to it, you know. And as we go on, I think our flavor keeps maturing, right? And actually, I'll tell you what, Joel Simkes was the guy who wrote one of the best reviews for us in The Noise, where he was like, there's weed bands and heroin bands and coke bands and beer bands, and The Lights Out is clearly a beer band, and now we really are a beer band with the beer, you know. But this was years ago, and he said it like this, like, if you, on first listen, it feels like you might think it's a cheap 40 because it's just so easily drinkable, it just meant to be guzzled right down. But then you listen to the guitars and you realize it's more like a Pilsner, you know what I mean? And he started, and the drum comes in and this and that, and maybe it's more like a stout or a porter, you know. It's deceptively simple stuff that we're trying to get to, and I think simple is, for me, is the real crux of what makes stuff stick. I don't want it to be too difficult. I want people to get it right away. Right away, the second chorus, you should already know what's coming. And I've always gotten one of the best compliments I've ever heard is when somebody comes up and says, "Hey man, that song, Liquid, you know, or Red Letter Day," and they've never heard it before, but it stuck right away. They know it, you know, because we want to make it sticky. We want to make it so sticky that it's just like in there before you know it's there.
Yeah, that's interesting that a lot of artistic types are really sort of like self-medicating. That's why they create art.
Yeah.
And they're not really thinking at all about how they're presenting themselves to a marketplace.
Yeah, it's not even a marketplace so much. Well, I mean, I guess it is sort of in general a marketplace, you know, but the truth is we're just writing what comes out of us naturally. We're not, you know, it's not like we're Maroon 5 that, like, started as a reggae thing and then went to country. They didn't do that, but by all accounts, you know, Maroon 5 tried a bunch of different things until they hit on their thing, because they were really just aimed exactly, explicitly at selling. You know, that's not really it. It's more, we're doing what we do, but I just so happen to love really easily digestible pop hooks. That's what I like, you know, and that's what I want to hear. And a clever turn of phrase, you know, and like maybe pop country isn't the greatest sort of place to go for that stuff, but older country, the way that these guys can say so much so quickly. I'll get back to John Prine, you know. There's a hole in daddy's arm where all the money goes. What a line, man. You know, what a line. Come on. Or one of my favorite verses, Bob Dylan, you know, he looked around, the room was bare. He couldn't see her anywhere. He told himself he didn't care. Threw the windows open wide and felt that emptiness inside to which he just could not relate, brought on by a simple twist of fate. Awesome, you know? Awesome, you know, and Dylan gets pretty esoteric out there, but that's one of my favorite Dylan songs because he's not. It's like right out in front of you, you know. That's like Tangled Up in Blues, another good example. Blood on the Tracks, that whole record, I love that record, you know. It's one of my favorite Dylan records, actually, for that reason, because, you know, the ease of like just getting it in like that, that's what really resonates with me, and that's sort of the ethos that the Lights Out brings, because that's just naturally what happens when I write lyrics anyway. It's a great complex musical bed to write over, you know. And also, you know, for the other guys, because Adam and Jesse have kind of, they continue to up their writing game, and have put some real gems into our catalog, and will continue to do so further and further into the future. You know, Matt gets his more by like, actually, we got a new one out it's not out yet, but, you know, once in a while, Matt will like just put a snippet of a lyric in, and you know, he really is like, man, I just want you to do it, you know. But you know, we got this song called I Feel Gone that's going to be coming out, I don't know when. Probably when we come in here, we'll play it, because Joel will get a good pre-production mix for us. It's that's one of the beautiful things about coming in here. Like, yeah, we're not going to be able to get into the studio really for a little bit, but we could come in here and like get a solid quality recording of some stuff. And that'll definitely be one of them.
Yeah, and one of the things we do is we play the, like, Joel goes through and sort of curates the best tracks of these live performances.
Yeah,
and,
right.
And he has those all lined up for us to play on the air, too, which is really unique and exciting.
Yeah, nice.
Like, I played a Crop Duster tune that was recorded right here a little while ago. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. Well, I was probably not paying attention because I was listening through headphones on soundcheck or whatever. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, man, this is a special place to be able to come and do things, for sure.
Yeah, we're glad to have you.
Yeah, man. I really appreciate it. Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure to talk to you.
So let's plug the show again.
Yeah, right. So the Lights Out will be joining Gene Dante and the Future Starlets and Zip Tie Handcuffs and the Sun Lions on Friday.
Killer lineup.
Yeah, it's killer, actually. It's very, very good. So that's at the Black Box Theater for the Arts Emerson. It's 539 Tremont Street, I believe. Tickets are $8, and you should come down because we're planning on decimating the stage, and I'm sure that all the other three bands are planning on doing the same thing. So there won't even be a splinter left if we do it right. If we do it right, but I think we will.
All right, thanks a lot, Rish.
Thank you, Andrew. Good to see you, man.
Yeah, let's hear something from the Million Counts.
Oh, God.